Well, good evening and welcome along to another edition of Ireland Calling. We're into the 31st year now. Thank you very much to everybody that got in touch after last week's show where we linked up with a few celebrities around the world. We missed out on a few more, but anyway, we're going to continue the theme of celebration this week. We are going to have a link to Ireland in a few minutes' time, and I'll let you know who that is. But anyway, welcome along. You're listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you, as always, with the support of the Hugh Green Group. And the Hugh Green Group have been sponsoring Ireland Calling for a long time. You're listening to us in Auckland on Planet FM Auckland on a Wednesday night and a cold, wet, miserable day up here in Auckland. Access Wellington Access Radio on a Saturday night, Kapiti Coast Sunday afternoon. Plains FM in Christchurch Saturday night, and actually Wellington Access Radio on Sunday night. Getting mixed up on all the different stations that I'm on, and I know we're on planetaudio.nz. And welcome to everybody that have tuned in. I know there was quite a few people that tuned in overseas last weekend. Right, if you want to know who won the All-Ireland Hurling Final, I won't delay any longer. Tipperary won their 28th title. They beat Kilkenny in the final on Sunday in a game that was probably overshadowed by the sending off of a Kilkenny player just before half time, and the game was quite close at that stage. But in the second half, Tipperary came out and played a really good game of hurling. So the celebrations are continuing and will continue for the week. They've won three titles, senior titles, in this decade, and one more than Kilkenny. And of course, they've got another game this weekend. They're under-20s. They take on Cork in Limerick on Saturday night. But good news for Galway. They won their third All-Ireland minor title in a row. And the day at Croke Park started off beautifully on Sunday with sunshine around 3 o'clock. There was a hailstorm nearly at about... Well, the sun was shining for about from 3 till about 20 to 4, and then there was heavy showers, and then there was more sunshine and more showers, but it didn't dampen the spirits of Tipperary, who played a great game and a great comeback for their manager and coach, Liam Sheedy. He was involved with the team 9 years ago, and after Tipperary having a very poor year last year, he came back, took on the team, and a very professional game it was, or the whole with backroom staff, new players brought in, and old players brought back again, and they're champions for the 28th time. All right, and I suppose we will play a Tipperary song before the end. In fact, let me see while I'm talking here. Can I find one here in my my playlist? But what else is happening? Well, Brexit is the big news. Here we go, Sleepin' Em On.
Waves that are wild, but my heart is not here at all. It flies far away by night and by day to the times and the joys that are gone. But I know the first of all, by the star watch show, oh, ever my restless spirit cries. My love, oh, my love, will I ne'er see you more, and my land will you never uprise. Day, I never, never pray. My lonely, my life goes on. To see our flag unfold, and my true love to unfold in the valley, you sleep among. In the valley,
I know it's been played more than once in Tipperary this week, but we'll play it once here on the programme tonight. Sleeve them on there, and that song no doubt will be sung for many's the week in Tipperary as they celebrate another successful year on the hurling. Right, well, as I mentioned just before that song, Brexit is still dominating the headlines, but what's dominating the headlines more is the events that happened on the border, just 2 kilometres inside the Northern Ireland border in County Fermanagh yesterday, when allegedly Continuity IRA or New IRA were the main suspects in planting a device that lured police to an area in Wattle Bridge, close to Newtown Butler, less than 2 kilometres from the Republic. So bomb disposal officers were called to examine a suspect device. Now that item was actually a hoax, but there was another device close by which exploded while officers were at the scene. And this, according to the police, this was meant to kill police. In fact, it could have killed anybody that was close by it. And again, it just, the headline here on The Independent says, bomb delivers deadly wake-up call on Brexit. As a result of this, or possibly, you know, to try to get things moving, Taoiseach Leo Varadkar and Prime Minister Johnson spoke for over an hour. This was on Monday night. On the phone, and Johnson has said they reckon there was no ground given by either leader, and Johnson has said that he'll come to Dublin in early September, but as far as he's concerned, the backstop will go. And I was listening to some reports on the RT News today, and they're saying that there'll be pressure possibly from some countries within the European Union for Ireland to make some concessions, and if these concessions are to be made, it looks like there will be some kind of a hard border between the north and the south. If well, there definitely will if England leave or the UK leaves without a deal. Of course, there's other things happening in the UK with a number of dissident Conservatives saying that they don't think that Johnson has a mandate to leave without a deal, and they are possibly threatening to vote in a motion of no confidence in the leader if this is put to the House in early September. So lots and lots of things happening on that front. Good news, all the Leaving Cert results came out last week, and then later in the week the applications opened for all the universities. And a lot of people have been successful. Of course, the issue now is if you get a place in university in Dublin or in the major cities, that's great news, but then you've got to find accommodation, and accommodation is very expensive at the moment. And I see here where a report early in the week says rental cost crisis spreads across the country as prices are up 7% across, and in many areas I see in rural towns outside the big centres, rents are up 12%, and in Dublin you just name your price. But there's still, like there is here in New Zealand, a big shortage of properties to rent in Ireland. Right, let's see what we're going to have here. We'll go on with Never Be the Sun, Dolores Keane.
Even when the dark caught inside. When love turns round on you, leaving the past behind, it's knowing you'll do like you always. Keeping you true, you'll never be the sun turning in the sky, and you won't be the moon above us on the moonlit night. Stars in heaven, although they burn so bright, but even on the deepest ocean, you will be the light. You will be.
Dolores Keane there, a lovely song called Never Be the Sun. And if you've tuned in, welcome along. You're listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you, indeed, as it is every week, with the support of the Hugh Green Group. Well, as I said, the big sporting event at the weekend was the All-Ireland Final, senior finals between Kilkenny and Tipperary, and the minor final between Kilkenny and Galway. Galway won the minor final and Tipperary the senior final, and over 30,000 fans turned out in Thurles on Monday night to welcome the team back to Simple Stadium. And they're looking for more. They reckon that this team will go on and win many more All-Ireland titles. And a huge crowd. If you could have sold 100,000 tickets, they would have been bought. And but as I mentioned earlier, it was a kind of a showery afternoon, which obviously, if you were out in the open, as half the people were, and most of them, you would have been soaked. The other politicians, main politicians, are still on holidays, but when they come back, there's going to be a lot of work to do as we prepare, the country prepares for a no-deal Brexit at the end of October. And there's, this is really dominating the news. And obviously the fact that a bomb was found 2 km away from the border in County Fermanagh yesterday that was meant to kill police force members in Northern Ireland, this certainly is a sign of worrying things if there is a hard border between, or a border between, the north and the south. The Irish rugby team, we were going to go number one in the world at the weekend if the All Blacks got beaten and Wales and England drew. Well, the All Blacks won. Wales beat England, and Wales are number one in the world now. So Ireland have three more warm-up games. They play England this weekend, then they play Wales at home and away, and then they're off to Japan. And of course, their first game, about the 20th or 21st of September, against Scotland. So the Irish team will be announced. I think they're announcing their squad of 31 at the end of next week. I know the All Blacks will be announced here next Wednesday, and obviously 31 players will be selected. If players get injured, they'll be able to pick more players. But the All Blacks certainly came back with a vengeance against Australia last weekend, and they'll be hoping you know, to keep up that and maybe win three in a row World Cup titles. Righto, we'll head on with another bit of music. This time we've got a song for all the people from Cork that are here. So my own lovely Lee.
How oft do my thoughts in their fancy take flight to the home of my childhood away, to the days when each patriot's vision seemed bright, ere I dreamed that those joys should decay. When my heart light as the wild winds that blow down the Mardyke through each elm tree. Where I sported and played, neath the green leafy shade, on the banks of my own lovely lea. Where I sported and played, neath the green leafy shade, on the banks of my own lovely lea. And then in the springtime of laughter, the green mossy banks and wild flowers. Then too, when the evening sun came to rest, sheds its golden light over the scene. Oh, the maid with our lover, the wild daisies pressed on the banks of my own lovely lea. Oh, the maid with our lover, the wild daisies pressed on the banks of my own lovely lea.
Well, for all the Cork people that are out there, the banks of my own lovely lea, sung there by the man from Roscommon, Brendan Shine, and you're listening to Ireland Calling. Well, the GAA are getting all good positive headlines. Their finances obviously are going very well. They have lots of sponsorship deals and selling out all their games, unlike the FAI, who obviously are still going through a big reorganisation as a result of the former CEO John Delaney stepping down earlier this year over controversy over him lending 100,000 euros to the association. And he moved away from the CEO's job to an executive vice president role, which got him made sure that he could still keep his lucrative jobs with FIFA and UEFA. But at the weekend, UEFA have come out and said that they will remove him from their executive until a report into the whole FAI organisation is completed. We know there was almost a complete clean out of the board members at a EGM a couple of weeks ago. And Minister for Sport Shane Ross was calling for a full clean out and to put new people in there, but Donald Conway, former president, he basically said he wasn't going anywhere for the time being, so he's still the president. But it looks like that the FAI are going to probably have to get a loan of a figure that was mentioned at the weekend, around 20 million to bail it out. Their finances obviously are in pretty poor state of affairs, and there's still investigations going on into the way the business had been run under the tenure of John Delaney. He's not doing too bad though. I think he's still on a quite a big salary while he's on gardening leave, and the rumours was that he had negotiated himself when he was a CEO an exit package of 2 million. If he left before 2021, he was entitled to a payment of 2 million. So he'll be probably waiting to see if he can get that, but I've no doubt that a lot of people in Ireland will, especially soccer people and indeed politicians involved with Sport Ireland, won't be too happy if he gets any bit of that. But we'll just have to wait and see. Leinster started their rugby season with a friendly at the weekend. They won it easily, but Leo Cullen, the manager, came out and said, we'll have to change the culture within the organisation going forward as a result of some incidents that happened last year towards the end of the season. So it'll be interesting to see how that will go. Now, I was hoping to play this song last week, Song for Ireland, but the wrong button, I must have hit the wrong button. But here's Luke Kelly singing Song for Ireland.
walking all the day near tall towers where falcons build their nests. Silver-winged they fly, they know the call of freedom in rest. Saw blackhead against the sky, where twisted rocks they run to the sea. Living on your western shore, saw summer sunsets, asked for more. I stood by your Atlantic sea, and I sang a song for Ireland. Drinking all the day in old pubs where fiddlers love to play. Saw one touch the bow, he played a reel which seemed so grand and gay. Stood on Dingle Beach and cast in wild foam, we found Atlantic bass. Living on your western shore, saw summer sunsets, asked for more. I stood by your Atlantic sea and sang a song for Ireland. Day with true friends who try to make you stay, telling jokes and news, singing songs to while the time away. Watched the Galway salmon run like silver, dancing, darting in the sun. Living on your western shore, saw summer sunsets, asked for more. I stood by your Atlantic sea, and I sang a song for Ireland. Dreaming in the night, I saw a land where no one had to fight. Waking in your dawn, I saw you crying in the morning light. Sleeping where the falcons fly, they twist and turn all in your air blue sky. Living on your western shore, saw summer sunsets, asked for more. I stood by your Atlantic sea, and I sang a song for Ireland.
Yes, the great Luke Kelly, and a song, the first song I ever played here when I started broadcasting, in fact, was Mary Black's version, Song for Ireland, and you're listening to Ireland Calling. Well, I mentioned last week, briefly, as we celebrated 30 years on air, that the body of Nora Quarren had been found in the forest not far from the Rosora rainforest. She went missing in Malaysia, and the result of the post-mortem that came out later last week was that She died as a result of starvation. As a result, she was missing for about 8 days. But many people were questioning whether this was true. Some members of Nora's family felt that she may have been abducted, because the area where she was found was only about 2 kilometres from the resort, and obviously police and searchers and dogs had looked and combed that area before she was found. So people were asking questions, but the family have basically asked for some privacy, and they are working through the process of bringing her body back, and she'll be laid to rest close to her family. She's got family in Ireland. Her mother was from Belfast, her dad was from France, and they lived in London. And I know there was a huge outpouring of grief, of support for the family, both from France and England, Malaysia and Ireland, and indeed tributes paid to Nora, who had special needs. The family had just arrived there for a holiday trip of a lifetime, 2 weeks in the rainforest area. And she obviously left the room, or some people thought she might have been even abducted in the apartment that she was in. And the massive search that went on for almost 9 days before she was found, found her body near a waterfall in deep, forested area. So terrible, terrible tragedy. And there was a number of other tragedies in recent weeks. A young person drowned while on holiday in Spain from Cork, and there was 2 or 3 other people died suddenly at music festivals. And one of the the family of one of the young boys from Clonmel who died at a festival in Cork, they came out on Sunday and they basically pleaded with young people to be aware of what they take if they go to these concerts. We know the same things happens here. There's a lot of young people take these party pills, and the family that are left behind devastated as a result of the loss of their loved ones. And with young people, they know that they take these drugs from time to time at concerts, but just to make sure they know what they're taking. And we know that drug agencies have testing facilities on site, so people, at least they can bring the drugs that they've got and they can test them, and if they're okay they can probably go ahead and take them, but if they're not, at least they can be dumped. And finally, Ryanair, there's talks of a 2-day strike later this week, and it's getting nasty, because Ryanair put a full page ad in many papers at the weekend and said this is what we're paying our pilots. We're paying them €170,000. They've got great benefits as well, and they're looking for twice that. And this is only a group of pilots that are in the union. Of course, Ryanair allowed unions into their organisation about 2 years ago, and they're obviously not very happy with some of the people that are in the union that are trying to bring the airline or disrupt its services. They'll still be able to continue their services, but there's a lot of people coming home from holidays or going away on holidays at the moment, and this is the last thing that they need. Righto, we'll move on with another song here, and we'll look here and see. We had Daniel O'Donnell last week, we had Dublin, The Where All Times, we had Luke Kelly there a few minutes ago, we had a Dolores Kane, Dolores O'Riordan here, and Linger.
Linger. get by, trying not to die. Things wouldn't be so confused, and I wouldn't be so used. But you always really knew, I just wanted to be with you.
seek my home by the sea.
Yes, well, that's Sean O'Shea singing a song called Beautiful City, and that takes us nicely into our guest who we're joining on the programme tonight from the Beautiful City, a man that we linked up with on many occasions over the 30 years that I've been broadcasting here in New Zealand, Tom McSweeney. Good morning, Tom, and welcome once again to Ireland Calling.
Thank you very much, Oliver. Good to be back and good to hear from you. And thanks for the welcoming song.
Very good. Very good, Tom. And, well, we were looking back there over 30 years. I was just looking last week on RTE, because I keep an eye on things, and we had the 40 years since the tragedy of the Fastnet race, where about 15 people died and many. Were you working and covering that event for RTE at that particular time, 40 years ago?
Yeah, that year was amazing, Oliver, because probably the biggest tragedy that year, you might remember, was the Betelgeuse explosion at Whiddy Island.
That's right.
When there were 50 killed in the French tanker which exploded there, and about 2 weeks ago at the north side of Cork City at the Firkin Crane Theatre in the old Butter Exchange area in the heart of the north side of Cork City, I was doing a talk at the Mother Jones Summer School Festival with Michael Kingston, whose father was the pilot who was killed in that tragedy. And Michael, who was 4 years old at the time, is now a major international lawyer, maritime lawyer, highly regarded around the world and with a lot of top awards. And he's conducting a campaign to try to get justice, as he says, for those who died. That's 40 years later. He is in quite an argument with the Irish government, which he is threatening to take to the High Court, to have the declaration of their deaths, which from the coroner's inquiry and the subsequent inquiry at the time was declared to be accidental, tragedy, etc. But he believes they were killed by negligence. It's becoming a major issue. That was one. And then the same year was the tragedy of the Fastnet, which was celebrated, well, not celebrated, commemorated, I suppose is a better word, at Cape Clear Island last Sunday, again remembering tragedy. So it was a year of maritime tragedy, certainly 1979.
And of course, over the last few weeks, RTE, your former employer, have been looking back over 50 years since the civil rights marches start and the atrocities that happened in Northern Ireland. Not working if I'm wrong, but were you working in Northern Ireland during some of these early years, Tom, for RTE?
Yes, I spent quite a number of years covering the North from 1968 onwards, Oliver, first with the Irish Press, Sunday Press, and the Evening Press, the group of newspapers based at Burra Quay at the time, which I was then working with before I joined RTE. And intriguingly, when one thinks back, it was about 50 years last week, when the first troops arrived onto the streets of Derry, or Londonderry, as it would be called from the British side, but Derry most firmly from our side. And that was an extraordinary thing, to watch troops come onto the streets of a city where such a thing had never been seen before, with rifles, bayonets, and so forth, to take control of the unrest on the streets. And it was also the time when then Taoiseach Jack Lynch had made that speech about whether the government could stand by, and he never actually used the word stand idly by, although they were taken from it and used as the big heading at the time, and they've become part of history. But that was an extraordinary time, because I was in the North at the time, and we were in working between the Irish Press base in Belfast and Derry. Going back to Belfast to hear that speech was extraordinary, because the Irish troops were, it was thought, being pushed by the likes of Haughey and Boland, who were very active to try to get... They saw this as a time when Ireland could, the Republic could invade Northern Ireland. Now, they might get 20 miles into Derry, it was figured, but I would have doubted it. But for the pogroms which were going on in Belfast at the time, and where we were based 50 miles away from the border, there was absolutely no hope that there would ever be Irish troops get into Belfast. And the fears on the streets then, I remember being told, as we were based in the Northern Ireland office in Donegal Street, that our best hope was get to the docks and get a boat out of Northern Ireland, out of Belfast, because there would be absolute chaos, murder, pogroms would be nothing if that had happened. So when you look back 50 years and you look at the things that happened that time ago, 40 years back, Oliver, and you think of the tragedies, the Betelgeuse explosion, what was happening in Derry, it was an extraordinary time in news and news coverage, and an extraordinary time when things could have gone very wrong. And if the Taoiseach of the time, Jack Lynch, hadn't managed to control the elements who were pushing for an appalling picture, if it happened, of invasion of Northern Ireland, one wonders what would have happened. And of course, Haughey and Boland and his likes went on later on then to cause the arms crisis.
And we move along. We're 50 years away from the start of the marches, the civil rights. We've had the Good Friday Agreement in place now for over 21 years. In fact, 25 years. 1994, or 25 years, is the first IRA ceasefire. But we're in a very difficult situation at the moment. We're weeks away from Britain pulling out of the European Union, and they say they'll be going without a deal, which will mean that we could be back to a hard border between the north and south of Ireland. And we just seen early on Monday morning a booby trap that was set not far from Newtown Butler on the northern side of the border that was meant to harm and kill policemen.
A very worrying aspect. And last night you had an hour-long conversation between Boris Johnson and Leo Varadkar, which appears to have resolved nothing. It is extremely worrying because there is no doubt, Oliver, that there are enough wild, illegal, some people call them mad. One wonders what their insanity for violence is like, but they're poised, certainly, if there are any structures, I mean physical structures, if they have to be built again at the border, as I remember crossing many times in the years you talk about when going back and forth to Northern Ireland, covering the Troubles, as they're called. It's a very worrying scenario, and there appears to be no great solution coming up from the British side. The backstop is again being debated. One wonders, because if you look at what was suggested over the weekend in the leaks of the UK papers about what might happen in the Sunday Times, it is extremely worrying, because so much of the Republic's own business, the lorries which cross with goods to Europe, most of them go via the land bridge through Britain. There just physically aren't enough ships or ports or whatever to get all of them out of Ireland. So the effects, I think, that nobody really knows, and it now begins to look very like, as you say, the days close in towards October, that this has consequences that nobody can really contemplate without worrying for either the UK or for the Republic itself. But while there may be more concern here, because, I mean, we are an island removed from Europe by Great Britain, effectively, in the physical structures, it's extremely worrying, I think, and certainly on the British side, it's almost impossible to understand their determination of the group which is now running Britain to go ahead with it, because clearly the consequences are calculable.
And Tom, where you see it there from your day-to-day life in Cork, do you think that Irish businesses and companies are prepared for a no-deal Brexit, because some opposition politicians are saying we're not 10% prepared?
Theoretically, I would be of the opinion that most of the major businesses have been contemplating, planning, etc. for it. But the theory is fine. The practice is what I think would be of major concern, because take, for example, Cork, where I live, and the port here. There is one transport ferry service going to Spain, just one. Brittany Ferries goes to France during the summer season. So you're left with one all-year-round transport commercially to Spain. That's the only one. You look at Rosslare, where Irish Ferries has been talking about pulling out from. That's connected to Britain. You look at Dublin, the main connections are through Britain. Now, there are other connections, France, but the main connections are through Britain. There are other ferries running to Europe, of course. But the point is that the majority of, as I can see it, the majority of road transport, the trucks carrying the various goods from Ireland, still use heavily the land bridges, which involve the ports of Britain, Heysham, and Dover and so forth. So they're going to be all caught in to this British lorries going. And one wonders, has that been thought about? Because there are bound to be effects in the fact that goods are coming back via the land bridge to the Republic. Some, okay, coming by sea, but certainly not enough to keep everything going. If you cut the land bridge, that's, I think, the most worrying concept.
Right, the 31st of October will be a few days away from Rugby World Cup final, Tom. We'll talk about rugby for a minute. Obviously, Ireland are preparing for the World Cup. They've got a few challenge matches. The All Blacks were well beaten by Australia 2 weeks ago, but they came back with a vengeance last week. The mood on the ground there, do people think that Ireland have a good chance of going a little bit further than previous World Cups and getting to a semi-final?
I think the hope, and I stress the word hope, would be that they are. I mean, there's nothing to judge it by so far. There was a match against Italy on Saturday of last week, but it really didn't tell a great lot because of the second-string Irish team. And I suppose the worst outcome was the injury to Carberry, which was said to be an ankle injury, not that severe. What one wonders, because then the word leaked out that there was some surgery on the ankle, and he was regarded as the major backup to Sexton. One would hope, but I think Saturday in the match against England at Twickenham may tell a lot, especially when Schmidt announces what his team will be, his selection for Saturday. That might tell a bit more, because the Italian match told very little. The hope would be, but I think it's a very much a moderated hope from the almost inexplicable interpretation of the victories over 2 years ago, because the collapse last year has put, I think, a very more perhaps sensible approach to what Ireland can achieve. It would be good to think they can, but I wouldn't hold out a huge amount of hope for them getting to the final. Quarter-final, yeah, perhaps very good. Semi-final, very, very good. But then one never knows. The only thing I think about the rugby game, Oliver, I don't know how you think about it, your side, but from my side and down here in Munster, I think about the rugby game, I hear more people saying that it's getting boring. And that word boring I've heard used quite a few times in my own club Sunday as well here. And I think that's from what has been called the boring crash-bang-wallop up the middle, bounce off somebody, rather than playing the kind of rugby that maybe you or I were taught, certainly, was to get around people, avoid them, and score. And I hear that word. I don't know how it is at your side, but I'm saying they're boring from the time the ball's kicked off. They're getting bored by the collisions, and bored by, rather than seeing open rugby, as they call it.
Well, you're right, because the guys that are in the back line here, most of them are nearly 100K, some of them are over 100K, so you can imagine the crash bang, a Bundy a key type, and we've got the Sonny Bill Williams, we've got the same guys here, but certainly there isn't the big numbers attending rugby games here like there was when I came here 30 years ago. And okay, there was a test match on Saturday night at Eden Park, the All Blacks Australia, that will always sell out, but other games they're struggling with the equivalent of the Heineken Cup down here. We'll move from rugby, we'll keep in sport, but the All-Ireland Hurling Final, now correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was Kilkenny against Tipperary. Cork weren't in the final, Tom, is that right?
No. Yeah, good point, Oliver. I'm afraid that the Cork hurling and the Cork football has gone down quite a bit in the past couple of years. Certainly, the Cork hurling team probably had done a bit better in the qualifiers, as they call them, and in the Munster Championship. But watching it last Sunday on television, I just thought, I sat down to watch the entire All-Ireland, because one has to admire, Oliver, the skill of these hurling guys. I mean, I'm just imagining, there's these guys with, you know, they now have face protection, but yet they can catch the small ball, the schlitter, and then a guy who's being jostled by maybe three or four other guys with hurleys, being pushed around, and he can whirl from half, maybe the halfway side, and put a ball between these two posts, which are so far distant. And I look at the scale of these guys, and I say, it's extraordinary. Mm. It was great to watch. I think, you know, possibly the fact the result was decided by the red card for the Kilkenny guy. And I must say, I thought the challenge was deserved a red card, because it looked to me like an elbow was given into the face that could have broken the jaw of his opponent. And there's nothing to excuse, really. I think a deliberate. If it was seen in rugby, it would without doubt have been a red card.
It would. And we had the incident the week before with one of the All Blacks being sent off. But it's Tipperary celebrating, and of course, 2 weeks away we have the football final, and Dublin. They're a bit like the All Blacks. They're sponsored by the same company. They're very professional, and they're going for five in a row. And of course, you know, most of these guys are pretty full time. Well, they're amateurs. They're working full time as well as playing sport.
They do, and it will be. You know, last night they were celebrating in Tipperary. I think it was on to the early hours of this morning. The interesting point you make there, which is very, you use the word professional and amateur. And yes, it is an amateur game, but there is no doubt it's apart from direct payments that you have in rugby or soccer, football, there is no question now that there are payments of in kind or whatever to GAA players. You know, you see them sponsoring the cars, sponsoring this and et cetera, et cetera. But they're bordering on professional, most certainly, because they're training so many nights a week, holding down jobs. Yes. But the jobs, I think, allow them to do the sport as well. But I think the interesting thing about that you make, Dublin are going for the five in a row, and they're undoubtedly favourites to do so. Can Kerry stop them? Nobody's giving Kerry much chance, apart from the people who live in the kingdom, of course, as it's called. It probably won't be as undecided a game before it happens. And Dublin are clinical, there's no doubt about that. It was... is extraordinary the way they took apart Mayo in the semi-final after this in the second half when Mayo collapsed. Are they odds on? Yes, they are. The interesting thing about Mayo, by the way, up the west, as I was told, that curse that was put on the Mayo team in 1951, imagine it, when this priest, because the Mayo bus didn't stop at this funeral and honor the funeral, he complained, and his curse apparently was that Mayo would never win an All-Ireland until all the members of that team were dead. I gather there's only one man left and he's 95. So I was told the other day, and this does not mean being in any way disrespectful, but I was told maybe 5 years' time might be a good time to bet for Mayo to win an All-Ireland.
Well, they'll need a few young players. Briefly, before we finish, we talked many years, Tom, over the Celtic Tiger. He came, he went... In Cork, employment, housing. I hear the news today: shortage of housing, high rents, students paying huge rents to get. So, are things better now or worse than they were 15, 20 years ago, Tom?
Things are definitely economically better, Oliver. I mean, we talked very often many years ago about the problems that was being left. You know, the Celtic Tiger, etc., etc. Things are better. Generally, there's more money around, yes. People are a bit better off, yes. But not everybody. There's no doubt that it has left a legacy to a certain extent of bitterness. People who haven't benefited. All boats have not been lifted. Employment better, definitely. Quality of employment, questionable, because a lot of people are on temporary employment, contracts or no contracts. Low wages, yes. People looking for more money, yes. Overall, a better feeling in many areas, yes, but not a blanket, Oliver. Employment better, housing, absolutely a major problem. A very, very serious problem of accommodation for people. Serious in Cork to a certain extent, terribly difficult in Dublin. So has it left a good legacy? It has certainly improved life, there's no doubt about that. Many people better off, but underlying under the surface. I've always remember saying to you in programs that one must look a little bit under the surface to see reality. And I think under the surface, I would be concerned. Concerned certainly for younger people growing up with what security of job? Questionable. Security of the future when they need retirement and pension? Questionable. At the moment, grand, but the future, Brexit, big questions, Oliver.
Tom, great to talk to you. I have a computer here flashing. I've got a minute to go before I wind up, so I'll talk to you off air in a minute. But thank you for taking the time to link up with us, and great to hear that you're keeping well. And, of course, you're podcasting a weekly program on the sea. What's that called again, Tom? You better give
I know. It's Island Nation on community radio stations around Ireland and iTunes and places like that. To do it. At last, with Brexit coming on, of her last word, Ireland has found that it is an island.
Very good, Tom. I'll talk to you off air in a second. That was Tom McSweeney there, live from his home in Cork. And here is Stockton's Wing taking us out for another week. Thank you for joining us tonight, tuned in into my 31st year here of broadcasting. Many more I'll keep going. I don't know. Many more I'll keep doing, but we'll keep going anyway for another week or two. So thank you, and good night, goodbye, and God bless. And thanks again to the Hugh Green Group.